So you've either got an IRS letter on the table with your company's name on it, or you just filed your first 1120, and somebody told you incorporating puts a target on your back. Either way, you want a real number. B. What's the real number?
Depends almost entirely on size, and the spread is huge. Small C corporations, assets under $10 million, have been examined at well under 1% in recent years. Same story for S-Corps filing the 1120S, well under 1% historically.
And the big ones?
The IRS announced a 22.6% audit rate target for corporations with assets over $250 million for tax year 2026. That came out of their 2024 enforcement plan.
22.6 versus under 1%. That's like 100 times.
Roughly 100-fold, yeah. And that gap is the single most important fact here. The IRS puts its people where the dollars are.
Okay, so what's the $10 million line about? You said assets under $10 million.
It's a jurisdiction line. Below $10 million in assets, your return sits with the Small Business Self-Employed Division. Above it, LB&I takes over, Large Business and International. And those are field exams, teams, multiple years. Below the line, exams are usually narrow, single issue, and often handled by mail.
Now I want to ask about 2025, because people heard the IRS lost a lot of staff.
Roughly 27% of the workforce. And experienced revenue agents, the ones who run complex corporate exams, those are among the hardest jobs to replace. So the honest read is that complex field exams almost certainly declined. Whether that 22.6% target survives is an open question.
Then the small guy's off the hook, right?
No. And this is the part people miss. Your audit risk was never driven by people. Document matching, automated under-reporter notices, computer-generated exam letters, all of that kept running without interruption.
Say more about how a small return actually gets picked.
There's a score called DIF, Discriminant Inventory Function. Every return gets one. It compares each line against statistical norms for businesses like yours, and the high scores get pulled for a human to look at. Nobody at the IRS decided to look at you. An algorithm did. Which means the published rate isn't your real risk. Your real risk is how far your return sits from normal.
So what pushes you away from normal? Give me the list.
Gross receipts below your paper trail. The IRS matches your 1120 or 1120S against 1099K and 1099 NEC filings under your EIN. Reporting less than the forms show is about the surest way to get flagged. Then officer compensation at the extremes. An S-Corp owner taking a token salary while pulling big distributions, or a C-Corp paying an outsized salary to strip out profit. Recurring losses year after year while the owner keeps living. Related party stuff. Shareholder loans with no note, rent paid to yourself at odd rates, family on payroll with no duties, balance sheets that don't reconcile, Schedule L figures jumping between years with no explanation. And cash-heavy operations get structurally more scrutiny at every size.
Wait, back up on Schedule L. That's a quiet one?
Quiet, but potent. Nobody thinks of the balance sheet as an audit trigger. The scoring system does.
All right, let's talk about the person holding a letter, because that's who's most anxious. What happens if they just don't answer it?
It doesn't go away. It defaults. And the defaulted audit means the IRS's numbers become your bill. The sequence runs in a fixed order, and every stage closes a door the one before it held open.
Walk me through the doors.
Opening letter. Letter 566, or 2205-A. Names the years and issues. Prints a date. Silence doesn't pause anything. Then the exam report. Letter 915, or 950. Sometimes called the 30-day letter. If you never responded, the agent disallows the questioned items, often all of them, proposes the tax, usually with a 20% accuracy-related penalty attached. That's your window to protest to IRS appeals. And that review costs nothing.
30 days on the 915 or 950. Got it. Then?
Notice of deficiency. The 90-day letter. CP3219A or letter 531. 90 days from the date printed on the notice, not the date you pull it out of the mailbox. 150 if it's addressed to you outside the U.S. That's a statutory clock. It can't be extended.
90 from the date on the notice. That distinction has burned people.
It has. After that, no petition means the tax gets assessed. Corporations see a CP-161. If you're a pass-through owner, the adjustment lands on your personal account, often a CP-22E. Failure to pay penalties and daily compounding interest start there. Then collection escalates. CP-504B for businesses, intent to levy, and then a final notice, CP-297 or LT-11, which starts a 30-day collection due process clock. Form 12153 requests that hearing before levies can issue.
Form 12153. And after those 30 days?
Levies can go out, bank accounts, receivables. And if the balance is sitting on your personal account, wages, or up to 15% of Social Security benefits through the Federal Payment Levy Program.
Okay, So the cost of waiting isn't money, it's...
it's rights. At the exam report stage, the dispute is free. At the notice of deficiency stage, it takes a court filing. By the final notice, the argument about the tax is over, and you're only negotiating payment terms.
The article runs a hypothetical I want you to do, because the ordering surprised me.
Sure. Retired person, drawing Social Security, still runs a small S corporation for part-time consulting. Correspondence exam disallows $29,600 of deductions, home office, vehicle, travel, all thin on documentation. At roughly a 25% combined marginal rate, that's $7,400 of tax flowing through to the personal 1040.
Plus the penalty.
If the 20% accuracy-related penalty applies, another $1,480. Total, $8,880 before interest. So the penalty question comes first. Documentation showing a reasonable basis for those deductions is what you'd put in front of appeals inside that window. That's a $1,400 swing you can't chase later.
And then payment.
Then payment. $8,880 is under the $10,000 line for what the IRS calls the Guaranteed Installment Agreement. That's the program's actual statutory name, IRC 6159C. Individuals owing $10,000 or less, paid within 3 years, no financial disclosure if you're current on filings. Over 36 months, that's about $247 a month before interest. Call it $260 with accrual. Interest and penalties keep running either way. There's also the streamlined agreement for individuals at $50,000 or less, up to 72 months, set up online.
And if $260 a month isn't there? If it's mostly Social Security?
Then, currently not collectible, is the mechanism built for that. The IRS's own expense standards decide whether necessary living expenses eat your income. It pauses collection. The debt and the interest stay. It also blocks that 15% bite on benefit checks while it's in place. Penalty abatement is a separate request. First-time abatement if you've got a clean 3-year compliance history or reasonable cause. That removes penalties, not tax. Offer in compromise exists, but it's narrow. It's for when assets plus future income genuinely can't cover the balance, and it's rare for an operating business. $205 fee, waived with low-income certification. Never a quick fix.
One more. The agent asks you to sign Form 872. Extend the statute. Yes or no?
Genuine strategic decision, and I won't pretend there's a default answer. Refusing can force a rushed assessment. Agreeing gives the IRS more runway. Get advice before you sign. Baseline is 3 years from filing, 6 if more than 25% of gross income was omitted, and no limit at all for fraud or an unfiled year.
Say the hard part plainly. When is this a do-it-yourself thing?
Single-issue correspondence exam, clean records, small amount. An organized response by the printed date is often all it takes, and you shouldn't pay anyone for that. Where help changes things is a field exam at your place of business, multiple years or entities at once, a cash-intensive business facing income reconstruction, any hint of criminal exposure under the civil exam, disputed penalties in the four figures, and every deadline-driven stage. Because a missed 30-day or 90-day date is unrecoverable. Nobody can un-miss it.
So the next 24 hours.
If you're holding a letter, find the letter number in the top corner and the response date. Those two facts determine everything. Verify it's real through your IRS online account before you send anyone anything. Then pull only what was asked for, the specific issues and years named. Don't volunteer extra years or extra accounts. You can widen an audit by accident. Respond in writing, certified mail. Keep copies.
And if there's no letter?
Then nothing's ticking. Pull your last three returns and look at them the way an algorithm would. Recurring losses, big year-over-year swings, round number deductions, officer comp. That's a return you can still tighten up.
And if you want a second set of eyes, send us the letter. An enrolled agent here will map where you sit in that sequence and what your window is. Free. Confidential. 888-825-7779.
The date on the letter is the clock. Everything else is negotiable. That isn't.